The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. I'm so glad that you're here today. Today, we are talking with Chris and Elizabeth McKinney all about their book, Place for Purpose. We're talking about being good neighbors right where we live, like literally being a good neighbor in the neighborhoods that we live in. I know this is something that I try to do and I want to be better at, and I really do love some of my neighbors, but there's some of them I don't know. And this episode or this conversation was really convicting for me. Even as I re-listen, I'm reminded again and again that I want to be a good neighbor where I'm planted and where I'm placed. So hold me to it. I'm going to set up some time with my neighbors so we can just sit around the pool, so we can have a glass of something, so that we can have a glass of wine together, just so we can get to know one another, because this is where we're planted. This is where we're living. And these are the people that live next to us. I'm really excited for you to listen in. I hope that you will enjoy today's episode. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with some new friends, Chris and Elizabeth McKinney. I think this might be the first time we've had husband and wife on the show, which is really, really fun. Husband and wife author team. I've had my best friends on, so that might be a little bit different, but anyways. I'm so excited to sit down and chat with you guys and to share this conversation. So first, hello, how are y'all?
Hi.
Good, thanks We're for good. Having us.
Good, okay, and what's in your cup? What are you guys drinking this morning?
So I am drinking, I don't typically like flavored coffees, but this, we're at our church right now and they brew, it's called Highlander Grog, and it's a coffee that has just a little bit of like toffee and maple flavoring. So it's not super strong, but it's just a little bit. It's basically the only flavored coffee I'll drink, but it's really good.
Ew, no, I'm not drinking that. He made my coffee before we got here.
It sounds interesting. Highlander Grog?
Yeah, that's the name of the roast on it. It's from a local place in St. Louis that we get it from. So I don't know if it's a national thing or if it's just their thing, but look for it. Highlander Grog.
Yeah.
And I'm just drinking,
it's like a Starbucks medium roast that we made at home.
Yeah.
A little splash of cream.
Yeah, half and half.
Nice, very nice. Okay, well, when you're out and about, do you guys get coffee? Like, are you guys some coffee shop people?
I'm always mortified and like extremely embarrassed to tell people my coffee order. And actually, when people ask me to go out for coffee, I get like anxious about it because I only want to go to Starbucks. So if they want me to go someplace and like drink Highlander Grog, it gives me, anxiety. But so when I go to Starbucks, I'll tell you the truth. My order is a venti pike with 2 pumps of mocha, 2 pumps of peppermint, and steamed half and half.
So that's not bad.
Okay. Well, it used to be a poor man's mocha. It used to be like $1.70 like a long time ago. Now it's expensive.
Now it's like $5.
But steamed half and half for your coffee drinkers out there was a trick I learned. A Starbucks worker told me, because I always end up microwaving my coffee. She was like, no, we'll steam it. We'll steam your half and half. It won't make your coffee cold. Yeah. I was like, I love you. You just changed my life.
Yeah. That is really good. My like go to Starbucks order, because I have like our local coffee shop order and then my Starbucks order.
Right.
My Starbucks order is a Americano with 2 pumps. I think it's like 2 pumps white chocolate, 2 pumps cinnamon dolce.
Oh. Yeah.
With room for cream. So it's
we're vibing on the 2 pumps.
Yeah, we are. In the wintertime, so I know you get peppermint and you probably do that all year. Like fall season when pumpkin spice hits.
Yeah.
Hello. it's actually called, and this gets to, you guys don't need to know this much about me, but I very much love Disney. Like anything Disney is like.
Whoa.
So do okay. we.
We okay. love Disney. Okay.
We got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel seen and heard and loved in this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. So it's called A Cinderella's Carriage. It's white chocolate and pumpkin spice.
Oh, my gosh. I love you so much right now.
We will.
So yeah.
You'll have to try that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to try it. Try it, and then, like, we'll FaceTime or something.
Oh, I think we know for sure doing. Having a follow-up discussion about this.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, I love that. I love that we're bougie people and yeah. coffee orders. We got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
The caffeine is just like pumping through us.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right.
We're actually not here to talk about coffee. We're here to talk about neighboring and being good neighbors. And I would love to hear like where this started for you guys before, because I know like we write the books. We live the books and then we write the books. Mm-hmm. So where did this right. book start for you before you decided to write?
So about 9 years ago, we moved into our neighborhood and really, we weren't looking for more ministry to do. We work in full-time ministry at the time. Chris was directing the campus ministry here at the University of Missouri, and he was commuting part-time to do some seminary. So we weren't looking for more anything to do. Actually, we were stressed out. We had a bunch of little kids in a very short amount of time. And I think for us, it was really the need to have people right around us. We thought, man, wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be enriching to get to know our neighbors? And for me personally, I was drowning in diapers, and I knew if I had to drive 15 minutes across town to have some kind of connection or community, it wasn't going to happen. So we threw a little fish fry mm-hmm. with our neighbors, Bingo and Angie. Bingo loved, he had a bunch of fryers, and he loved to fry things. That's like showing our Missouri-ness right now. And so we love food. So we made, we had like fish tacos and just fun stuff. And it was just a few people right around us. And from there, we thought, hey, we like Bingo and Angie. We like these people. We need these people. And we started planning. We started basically just start making excuses to get to know our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We sometimes think about stop making excuses kind of in a judgy, shamey way towards ourselves. But we thought about it more in terms of making excuses. And so we did the little Easter egg hunt. We did a little block party. And things started to explode in our neighborhood. People just were coming out of the woodwork. And what we found was that people were just as hungry and starved for community as we were. And from there, we saw God do some really incredible things. Even some people begin to follow Jesus. But I think it was just seeking the common good of our neighborhood, caring about the whole person, the whole process, and having a lot of fun while we did it. Mm-hmm. So,
I love that. Okay. So I like that you said that like your neighbors coming to find Jesus was kind of like a sweet byproduct. Like mm-hmm. obviously that's what we want as believers. We mm-hmm. want other people to find Jesus, but that's not what your heart was to initially. Your heart was just to have community around you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talk about like ultimate versus ulterior motives. And so mm-hmm. when we started to get to know our neighbors, like, yes, ultimately we would love to see them come to know Jesus and follow God. But like, we were going to value every step in the way. And even if the first step was just wanting to hang out and enjoy these image bearers who are right next door. And I think where things can get kind of twisted in this is where you have ulterior motives, where you're saying, okay, I'm going to have my neighbors over for the fish fry so I can invite them to church. And if I get that church invite in, then it all feels worth it. And if they say no, then you move on to the next neighbors. And that's where people can feel like projects and things can just get sideways. So we've really experienced the fruit of the low and slow process of serving, loving, self-identifying as believers, of course, and having spiritual conversations as we can. And God just really works through those little steps of caring and loving and serving.
Yeah, I think that's so good too, because if we're out there, I want to say this like really carefully, because I know that we are out there in the world to evangelize, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's our call as Christians mm-hmm. is to make disciples. But if we're out there doing that, pushing Jesus in people's face, then they're not really getting to know the sweet, good, sweet heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, so if we start with just being a place to have fun, what a great way for others to get to know Jesus, because the Jesus I know is actually a good time. He's fun. He's sweet. And so we want people to see that. So those motives really, really matter. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever come into a time where people questioned your motives, like with your neighbors? Or did your neighbors question your motives at all ever?
Not that I can think of. I mean, people always ask us all the time. I mean, probably every week. What did your neighbors think when you guys kind of became the neighboring people? Like they all of a sudden felt like they were these big projects. I'm like, they knew us. Like our neighbors are our people. And so I think, and they had lived the whole experience of living in a neighborhood where, you know, you come in, the car pulls in the driveway, the garage door opens, the car pulls in, the garage door shuts. I mean, there was no community. For Halloween, our first Halloween in the neighborhood, no one stayed. Everybody left. It was a ghost town. It was a ghost town, yeah. But everyone left. And so we were like, okay, I guess we go to the other bigger and better neighborhoods for Halloween. There was no community. And so I think they all lived it with us, where we saw that social fabric of our neighborhood strengthened when we would do these block parties or get-togethers or we partner with the City of Columbia to do some cleanup events. And we did an Arbor Day party where we planted like 345 seedlings in our neighborhood because we didn't have a lot of trees. And so just they lived it with us. And so when we switched to do neighboring, we were like, okay, we're doing neighboring now. They're like, we don't know it was more other people. Like, what is that? We're like, well, it's a job we made up, but our neighbors were actually like, that's what you do is good work. Like, go tell the Christians how to love their neighbors. Like, that's needed. You have a needed message. We're like, okay, because they know we work with churches. We work with believers to help us all think well. Not that we're the experts, but we're learning. We're mm-hmm. growing. And so, yeah.
I love that. And I think so often the people closest to us know what we do, but like, my neighbors and my friends, like, yeah, I do this and this is my job. And I joke that I get paid to speak in my closet.
But, I love that.
But they're also kind of like, yeah, this is just like what Jeanette does. Like, it's mm-hmm. not, oh, she's the friendship person. It's like, no, that's just our friend Jeanette. Like, she just mm-hmm. is doing her job. So I'm sure your neighbors are the same way. Like, oh, yeah, I know this is just like what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I love that. Let's talk about loving difficult neighbors. Mm. I told you a couple stories about my neighbors who I love. Like, if they're listening, I love my neighbors. But again, they just know I speak in my closet. They don't know what I do. So let's talk about loving difficult neighbors because people are difficult to love. Like, across the board, sometimes we as people are hard to love. So how do we intentionally love neighbors who might be difficult?
Yeah, so I think we need to start kind of big picture. What is some like theological and kind of gospel motivation to start there, so we're not just kind of trying to do it out of our own strength? And I think the parable of the Good Samaritan is a great place to start with this question, because in that story, you have an expert in the law, Old Testament, come up to Jesus to try to test him. And he says, hey, Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you're the expert. What does the Old Testament say? And he's like, well, love God and love your neighbors. And Jesus is like, okay, great, go for it. Implying like easier said than done, right? And so the lawyer then asks this question that the entire story passage hangs on, well, who is my neighbor? Meaning there's probably going to be some people that fall outside of my neighborly lines. He was looking to draw his neighborly lines where the people who he probably enjoyed and liked were his neighbors, and the people who he didn't would fall outside. So those people I don't have to love. And that's where Jesus then tells the story of the Good Samaritan, where you have these two religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, walk, see the man on the side of the road. They move to the other side of the street. Like they came close to him, but they didn't stop. And the same with the Levite. But then you have the Samaritan come, who is has different, you know, he's a different racial ethnicity than the guy in the ditch, probably different politics, all of it. And he actually stops and helps. And so after Jesus wraps up the story, he asks the lawyer, which one of these proved to be a neighbor, or which became a neighbor? And the lawyer, the expert in the law, said, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus is like, well, go and do the same. And so the question isn't as much who gets to be my neighbor? Like, are there people who I'm not like required to love that can fall outside my lines? But Jesus is saying, how can we prove to be a neighbor or become a neighbor to the people that I've placed around you? And the fact that we were once the people in the ditch, right? And Jesus stopped and became a neighbor for us when we were broken in sin and in death. And he raised us up and he bandaged our wounds. So it's out of that gospel motivation, looking to say, okay, Lord, you've placed me for a purpose. I want to become a neighbor to those around me. How can I do that? So that's, I don't know, that's kind of the first big step.
And we like to call the people who we don't want to be our neighbors, we like to call them non-neighbors, because that's kind of what the expert in the law was saying. Who is my neighbor? Meaning there might be some that aren't truly our neighbors. And so our non-neighbors are those people who you're talking about, who maybe they play the music too loud, or they have the wrong candidate's bumper sticker on their car, or
they barf in your front yard,
or they barf in your front yard.
Or that.
Whatever.
Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically, who knows?
So, and what we find is when we have those non-neighbors, so to speak, those are the people who we kind of judge, that we keep at arm's length, that we don't know always what's happening behind closed doors. Instead of seeing them and having compassion, we judge them. So I think Jesus wants to come in and kind of flip that script, so to speak, and change our view of our neighbors. Just the people that we like, our family and friends. I'm going to love my neighbor, yeah. Meaning, oh, my best friend, versus that non-neighbor across the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's so good. So how did you guys start? Did you just, like, you started with your fish fry, but then did you just go door to door knocking and say, hey, we're going to do this, like, we're going to have a party, like, come and join us? Or how did this start?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we did the Easter egg hunt, that was our first little event. I think we had 7 or 8 kids and 4 of them were ours. So it was huge. It was massive.
Yeah. Started with the big.
No, it was just humble beginnings. And at that little Easter egg hunt, we met a couple in our neighborhood, Kathy and Nathan. And they said, if you'd ever want to do more to try to build some community, we'd love to help. And we were like, what? So they said, you know, a block party. Let's try some things. So, yeah, we just kind of spread the word. I don't think we ever went door to door. If anything, we maybe put some flyers on mailboxes. You're not technically supposed to put stuff in the mailbox, so I don't know if we ever did that.
And our neighborhood didn't have a Facebook group, so we started a Facebook group and just started
spreading
the word. Hey, join the group, and we try to put the word out on there. But it was very like, hey, you invite the neighbors around you. You invite the neighbors around you. Very grassroots.
You bring the tablecloths. Yeah. You bring the the plates. You bring the silverware. Yeah.
That's so great. That's so fun.
And our HOA also has like an email list. So I think we got the word out that way too. But yeah, go ahead, awesome. Jeanette.
I love our neighborhood so much. And Halloween is kind of where people come into us. Like we're one of the places people come into. And it's so much fun. And so originally we're from Alaska. And so we moved to Texas about 10 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Halloween in Alaska is really non-existent. It's all churches. It's indoors. All of that.
Oh, wow.
So when we moved to Texas, it was a blast to like be able to sit in our driveway, pass out candy.
Yeah.
And now the neighbors that we have, we all sit in our driveways and we all have a glass of wine or whatever anybody wants to drink. And we just pass out candy together, laughing. And it's such a sweet community, because now, like, we were out of town recently and our neighbor was like, hey, I saw your dog out. I put him in the yard.
Yeah.
Like, just like they care for us. And I think when you start sitting outside, when you start inviting people in, you're cared for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we feel cared for on our street, when we feel cared for in our home, like I know if something were to happen, if Jesse's gone, I can run across the street to our neighbors.
Yeah.
I have people who will care for us. Mm. And that's such a sweet, sweet thing, because I don't want to be the neighbor that's in the house, garage door shut, lights off. You know, I want to be an inviting place, because that's what Jesus is to us. Mm. And that's what we're to be to others. Mm-hmm. And so I just love that you guys started that way. And when we talk about neighboring, I think I love what you guys said about like the non-neighbors, or like, well, I really like these neighbors, so I'll be good neighbors to them.
Yeah.
But really and truly, we're called to be good neighbors to everyone around us. And so has there been a time where you were convicted about like being a good neighbor to these people that you liked, where God kind of like had to shake your shoulders a little bit and turn your body, like push you out the door to be a good neighbor to the non-neighbors?
Yeah. Or did you want to share?
Oh, you could share.
I'm thinking of a couple instances, but sometimes what'll happen is the neighbors will fight amongst each other. And I'm thinking of a few years ago, there was a situation where I got kind of caught in the middle, and I was seeing it more from one person's perspective, and I was starting to harbor a lot of frustration and bitterness towards the other person. And I think, like you said, the Lord really convicted me of that. He had to put me in check. And I think over time, as I continued to try to move toward that person and not stay in my place of bitterness, it worked itself out. And now our kids are friends, and we can enjoy each other. We can see each other, and there's no awkwardness. And I think we even had a conversation where we kind of move forward through it all. Other people who maybe I probably judged a book by its cover, or maybe they did something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And again, just I think over time, that low and slow, as you kind of stick with people and try not to make those assumptions, we've become friends with some of those people.
Yeah, I think we sometimes just cut people off, or we hold on to grudges, and we just kind of let the relationship die. But what we've found is, you know, as we live out the gospel, as we remember that we were brought in, we were once Christ's enemies.
We were the non-neighbors.
We were the non-neighbors. Christ died for us. He brought us in. And as you remember that, experience that, I think that God can continue to work in those relationships over time if we can, you know, forgive and show grace and be kind in those smaller ways. We've seen some of those relationships reconciled, and it's been really cool. So trying to live out of the gospel is such a key in those instances, you know.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, I want to break in real quick and tell you about two really exciting things. Number one, did you know or see that I started another podcast? This new podcast is called Moms at Work, and it is for the working mom that works inside and outside her home. It is for all moms, honestly, and it's just for us to have this conversation of breaking down expectations and shaking off guilt and all of these things. I'm going to give you tips and tools that I use in my own life as I work, and we're going to have guests that come on. These episodes are going to be short and sweet, 15 to 20 minutes max. If we have a guest, it'll most likely be broken into two episodes because really, as working moms, we don't have a ton of time, and I want this to be really, really digestible. So you can find Moms at Work with Jeanette Tapley on any and every podcast player, and I would love for you to leave it a rating, review, and go ahead and follow it because, I mean, you're here with me now, so you're going to want to be with me over there. Trust me. The other thing I want to tell you about is we have a survey live for It's Time for Coffee podcast right now. And if you fill out the survey and do it to its completion, you are entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card that will be given to you on April 2nd, the fourth birthday of It's Time for Coffee. I cannot believe this podcast is turning four. I cannot believe that I've started another podcast, and I cannot wait to hear the advice that I need from you to make sure that this podcast continues to serve you really well. So please, please, please go take the survey. It's linked in the description below. It's super easy. I think it'll take you like at max 2 minutes. And with that 2 minutes, you have the possibility to win $100 to Amazon. Think of all the books you could buy. Oh my gosh, what a gift. It's a gift card for you. So, a couple things. Don't forget, be sure you're following Moms at Work podcast with Jeanette Tapley, and go fill out that survey for me. Okay? All right, back to today's show. So when it comes time to share your faith, and I think you are similar to us when it's like your faith is just kind of lived out publicly. Like, mm-hmm. if people are surprised that I'm a Christian, then something I'm doing is hiding that.
Right.
And I shouldn't be talking to Jesus about that. So when it comes time to actually share your faith with your with your neighbors and your friends, how do you go about doing that? Is it natural? Is it just like they've kind of been like curious? And so how does that, how do you cross that, like, okay, now we're actually going to go here?
I think it's run the gambit for us. Like, I mean, there's a neighbor that Elizabeth has kind of walked through a gospel presentation with, you know, kind of like how we used to do in mm-hmm. campus ministry. Then there's neighbors that we have just these conversations about what God's doing in our lives, in our life. And as we ask them questions and try to draw them out, then they ask us, like, well, what do you think about this? Another thing that we think a lot about is trying to match the spiritual pace of your neighbor. So if you think about having a running partner, like, I hate to run. So if somebody was like, okay, go running with me, if they're way out in front of me, I'm giving up. We're done. But as I get to, you know, I build up my stamina, if they're too slow, I'm like, I'm going to go find a new running partner. And so I think that with talking about spiritual things, we're always trying to just kind of toss something out. Like, oh yeah, in our small group the other day, we talked about, you know, marriages and how God can help us in our marriages. And if they're like, oh, that's really interesting, tell me more. Well, okay, let's go. But if we get nothing, and if they're like, so anyway, about the Chiefs game the other day, it's like, okay, they're not ready to go to that place. And I just think, and then you just trust God in the process. He's working in all of these relationships, even if it feels like they're not even moving a bit. Like, God can still be at work and you're still engaging in relationships.
Yeah, we've had some interesting late night hot tub chats with people where they're like, start totally opening up out of the blue about their spiritual background and why they don't believe in God and why they are where they are. Or people who... you know, one couple, we know a lot of neighbors. And if I had to make a list of the last ones we would have ever seen in church, it probably would have been this family. And we walked in and there they were. And we knew them from the wine nights or the block parties or whatever. And so I messaged her and said, hey, you know, do you come here often? Like, what's happening? And so she messaged me back and said, you know, actually, we started coming to church like a month or so ago because our kids said they don't believe in God. And in the process, we came and we've really found him for ourselves. Like, are you guys in a small group? And if so, can we join? And so they walked that next week through their front yard, through our backyard, into our living room about 4 years ago. So, yeah, it truly has been the gamut. Right now, I'd say I'm having conversations with people of all different backgrounds about what we're studying through the Beatitudes and what it looks like to show up in your neighborhood through the teachings of Christ, like being a peacemaker, being meek, being poor in spirit. And some of my neighbors who come from really different backgrounds are like, Jesus taught that? That's amazing. I'm like, yeah, he's amazing. Like, I know.
He's a pretty good teacher.
He's a really good teacher. But yeah, if we could apply these things, what would our neighborhoods look like? So,
yeah, I just think it's cool. Our church is really big on, we're a church plant, so we don't have our own building. So everything that we do is kind of within our members' homes or the batting cage where we meet on Sunday mornings. And really big on making... what do we say? We say making everyday places sacred spaces.
Yeah.
And so I really love that idea of like our small group meets in our house. And I have been so convicted so many times about like our small group, you know, they pile in and they're taking up places on the street, or I'll have a noonday party and I haven't told my neighbors about it. And it's like, man, am I being closed in, or how can I be more open with my home? How can I make my home a sacred space for people to come into? We do it with our small group, and that's easy. But what about our neighbors? What about the people who are directly around us that we can be loving intentionally as Christ has loved us? So I love that you guys are doing this. One of my favorite questions to ask authors is, like I said before, we live our books and then we write our books. And then we are counseled over the keyboard over our books. I call it keyboard counseling. And so what is a moment that God really, really counseled you over through the writing of your book?
Well, we just argued a lot when we wrote our book because we had to hash it out.
That's yeah,
right. So it was marriage counseling.
It actually was.
Yeah. I think co-authoring a book was it was challenging. I think we came out with a better book, but the process was very like hash it out. We would work in this small windowless room in the back of our church and just kind of like, well, I don't understand, and well, it's this. And so I think too, like just for us, like you talked about living your book before you write it. Another thing that was big for us was teaching our book before we wrote it. And so I can't remember who it was. I think we
Jen
were on,
Wilkin.
Jen Wilkin. We were on this writer's cohort thing, and she said she always tries to teach her book before she writes it.
As she's writing it.
So we were able to teach this. Our book is a 6-week kind of Sunday school connection class at our church, and really kind of hashed out some of the details and got great questions. And they're like, that doesn't make sense. And it's like, well, we need to clarify that. So it really just helped us. Like, this is what everything we wish we would have known when we started Neighboring 9 years ago. You know, like, I'm slinging cotton candy for 2 hours at a block party. Does this matter to God? It's like, I don't know, right? But it does. And so we fleshed that all out. And so that was probably the biggest thing, is just it solidified our commitment and our vision for wanting to see people reach out and love their next door neighbors.
Well, and we had come from a ministry that was, we now affectionately call the microwave, where life change, it was fun and it was fast, and you have 4 years with these college kids and they're super impressionable. And we think about Neighboring more as the crock pot. It's low and slow. And that is when you talk about counseling yourself in a message, I think people can get discouraged with Neighboring, like, well, I'm not seeing much change, or this person wasn't responsive, or I invited them to do this and they didn't respond. But we've really seen the fruit of, when you think about what it means to be placed for a purpose, reminding ourselves, you know, we are placed for a purpose. There's a reason why so-and-so is our neighbor. And even if she's not responding, maybe when I share this part about my life, or, you know, this, what I'm learning about the Lord or how he's working right now, 2-3 years down the road, we've seen that change. Mm-hmm. And we get in those conversations about why maybe they're hesitant, or where they've been burned or hurt or wounded when it comes to God. So I think just reminding ourselves, you know, we're placed for a purpose, and it is going to be low and slow, but there will be fruit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's beautiful. So one of the last questions I love to ask people is, what is it time for in your own lives right now? We believe that there's a season for everything under the sun. Right now it's time for coffee, but what is it time for in your own lives?
I would say for me, it's time for rest. It's been
Are you going to?
I'm going to try. It's been a full June and July. It's been really great, but we've been working on a couple other book projects, and then I've been able to do some guest preaching in St. Louis over the Beatitudes and kind of how that applies to Neighboring and stuff. Mm. So I don't know how solo pastors do it. I've been going, I'll have 4 weeks in a row. So shout out to any solo pastors. You do good work, and I am very impressed by you. But yeah, so I'm hoping here in the next couple weeks in August, we can get a little time to rest and kind of recharge before the fall kicks up.
Elizabeth, anything for you?
Oh, I think for me, it's been a time of rediscovering Jesus in a whole new way and seeing him as so different from us. And he is other. He is the Son of God. I mean, I know that sounds so, it's nothing new. It's nothing awe-inspiring. But it's just for me, I've been, as I read his teachings and I'm sitting kind of at his feet, so to speak, I'm just thinking, no human has ever been like this. No human has ever could ever do these things, because his teachings are so different. They're so upside down from the way we come in and we get judgy, or we envy people, or we just don't even see people at all. And Jesus comes in with this meekness and a poverty of spirit. And I know it sounds so cliche, but I feel like I really am falling in love with Jesus, like, in a whole new way, and really just seeing him as the Son of God and worshiping him. So time to rediscover Jesus, I guess.
I love that. And I think just even you saying that just reminds me again and again that we try to humanize Jesus a lot. Like, he was just a man, just like us. But, like, he wasn't. He was otherworldly. Like, yeah. I mean, to humanize him takes away his holiness, his godness, fully God. So I love that. Okay. Where can we find you guys, find your book, follow along, and be good neighbors or learn how to be good neighbors from y'all?
Yeah. So our book, Place for a Purpose, it's on Amazon, so you can find it there. We also wrote it to be used as a small group curriculum as well, so the chapters are a little shorter, and so you could pick it up and read it with your small group if you want. There's discussion questions and little neighborly assignments at the end of each chapter. Mm-hmm. And then we have a website, placeforapurpose.com, where we have some resources, and you can reach out to us personally. Like, part of our job is to coach people. We call it neighbor coaching, where we help people think through their neighborhood and how to, like, take those small initial small steps.
Yeah, individually or church staff as well. Yep. So
that's so great. Okay. Thank you guys so much for sharing your heart for neighboring. Thank you for talking to us about being good neighbors and reminding us that it really does start on our street, like walking out our front door and being good neighbors right where we're at.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jeanette.
Thank you so much for listening today. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode and that you enjoyed meeting Chris and Elizabeth. Be sure to thank them over on Instagram. Give them a thanks for having coffee with us and go out and grab their book. If this is a desire of your heart to be a good neighbor right where you are, grab their book. Just like always, everything from their book to their Instagram will be linked in the show notes below and on my website, itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I want to say thank you to everyone who has taken the listener survey for It's Time for Coffee. This week, the podcast is turning 4. I'm so excited. And your feedback has just given me so much encouragement and inspired some change here at It's Time for Coffee. So I cannot wait to roll out these things and to pick a winner on Saturday for that drawing. So thanks again. I really, really appreciate you. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 30th, you still have a couple of days to get your name in for a $100 Amazon gift card. We'll pick the winner on Saturday the 2nd. And I'm just so thankful that you're here. Thanks for being a good friend. And I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.